Okay, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. We'll look at a couple verses and we'll tonight we want to talk about truth and doctrine. The Bible says that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Ephesians chapter 2. And, of course, speaking of New Testament prophets and apostles through whom the Word of God was given. But, you know, if the foundation is not what it ought to be, certainly the structure is going to start crumbling, and you will notice cracks. Well, we got a lot of cracks going on today in Christianity. Matthew chapter 13, if you'll turn there, it says, verse 32, 31, parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, and which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. All right? What in the parables of the kingdom, what did the birds represent? How many know the answer? Raise your hand. Caleb, what do the birds represent? Satan. So here we have Christianity, profession of Christianity, grows to an abnormal size, and within it is lodging the birds of the air. Satan himself has found a lodging place. Now, if you look at the next verse, it says, another parable spake ye unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now, meal speaks of fellowship with God. It speaks of fellowship, and it also speaks that fellowship in doctrine. And leaven in the Bible represents what? Let's see. The unhindered spread of the gospel. B, sin. Which is the answer? B. Oh, you laugh. Almost all non-denominationalists, interdenominationalists, believe A. Go look in your New Testament Bible commentary from Dallas Seminary. Now, what is the Bible saying? That is a good example of what we're talking about tonight. Bible is saying that the profession of Christianity will be permeated insidiously, invisibly, with false teaching. We find that in Matthew chapter 16, verse 12. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. The spread of false doctrine. Now, we're going to have a little test here. Okay? All right. Okay, how many know that D.L. Moody was an evangelist? Raise your hand. Okay, how many know that Billy Sunday was an evangelist? How many know that Shubal Stearns was an evangelist? Jackson, don't raise your hand. Say again, how many knew that Shubal Stearns was an evangelist? Okay, couple, few. Okay. How many know who Obadiah Holmes was? That's because they have Baptist Primer, don't they? Do you have Baptist Primer? How many have Baptist Primer in your home? Raise your hand. Good. Okay. How many know John Gano is? All right. How about John Clark? All right. Okay, I should identify some of these people, shouldn't I? Obadiah Holmes was a preacher who preached in Massachusetts and was beat to death by the Congregationalists. John Clark was the founder of the First Baptist Church of Rhode Island. Shubal Stearns was a converted Congregationalist that through him the greatest revival in America ever took place. How many knew that? You know, we talk about revival, we talk about George Whitefield, and we talk about this. But you know, the greatest revival that ever took place was in America, was through Shubal Stearns. He is a Baptist preacher. Stearns began preaching with a congregation of 17 in Central West North Carolina, and revival broke out. He soon had 17 preachers whom he trained and sent into Virginia and South Carolina. Within one generation, 1,000 churches were birthed. And within two generations, over 5,000 churches were birthed. Now that's revival. I was challenged just recently to read a book, The Coming Destruction of the Baptist People. In fact, I'm going to have every teacher in our school read this book. I just ordered 7 of them. But this book was kind of like an answer to prayer. It was an answer to prayer because there's a problem I see in fundamental Baptists with other movements that are taking place. And I said, Lord, you know, I know this movement is wrong. It has huge spiritual problems. And it's hurting Baptist churches. Lord, help me understand why. And I start reading this book, and God showed me the answer. What is happening today is that there is a huge mixture of false theology and thinking taking place in the people who call themselves Baptists. To the extent that most Baptists only are Baptist in name, but very little in principle and in understanding of the Bible. And what we have is we have a mixture of Baptist principles with a Protestant teaching. It's interesting, I'll read you this quote. Hopefully I can find it. No, where is it? Ah. I'm not going to be able to read it. Oh, it was so good. It was so good. Thought I had it marked, and then I moved my marker. Okay, well, so much for that. Guess I have to start with a different manner here. How many have heard of Don Howard? Don Howard, you've probably heard of him, Tari. Don Howard is the man who started the Accelerated Christian Education, ACE is called. He is the man who started ACE. And I had to paraphrase his quote. He said, we are going to build a curriculum on the theism of the reformers. Now, maybe that doesn't make any sense to you, but the reformers are the Protestants, who are the pedobaptists, all came out of the Catholic Church. Infant baptism is pedobaptism. All of those leaders John Calvin, Martin Luther. In fact, John, what's Zwingli's first name?
Ulrich.
Ulrich. U-L-R-I-C-H. Ulrich, yeah. Ulrich Zwingli. A statue of Ulrich Zwingli had a sword in one hand and the Bible in the other. What does that mean? Let's go to Matthew 21:22. Or 22:21. Okay. They say unto him, Caesar's. Then said he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. We have in this verse one of the great Baptist principles, the separation of the secular and the spiritual. The separation of secular civil government and from the things of God and the Word of God. We call separation of church and state. Zwingli had a Bible and a sword because he did not believe in the separation of church and state. In fact, he, like the Catholics, because he was a Protestant and had Catholic thinking, of course, Constantine came in 313, and what did he do? He used the church to expand the government. And we have now the Catholic Church and its beginnings expanding via the use of the sword of the Roman government. Now that's one of the issues of the reformers. Now you start mixing the doctrines of the reformers, and the fact is, almost all Christian curriculum that is out there, its foundation is reformed thinking. Almost all the curriculum out there, Christian education curriculum, whether it's Bob Jones, Abeka, Liberty Christian Schools, Alpha Omega, ACE, and all the other ones that aren't even close to biblical, they have a reformed position. They have a reformed view of history. They have a reformed view of our country. They eliminate the key truths of our forefathers all the way from the beginnings of Christianity and even into America. Now, you know, one of the reasons curriculum Christian education has not worked, okay? Christian education has not worked. And the reason is because Christian education has made as its foundation reformed thinking in its curriculum. By how? Well, I have to do some investigation, but how many have heard the name of John Calvin? Yeah. How many know Martin Luther? Oh, yeah, everyone. And yet, these two men were enemies of the Baptist. These two men put Baptists to death by the droves. And in our Christian curriculum, they are heroes. They are not. Now, let me ask a question. How are you going to turn out a student who has the wrong heroes? How are you going to turn out a student to think correctly if they have the wrong heroes? Now, this might be shocking to you, but this is part of the answer to my prayer to the Lord. It says, Lord, show me what we have done wrong. Now, think of, there's another thought I had. you know, at the Bible colleges, the intellectuals recommend that the students, if you're a Bible student in many of the colleges today, Baptist colleges, they encourage the students to read John Piper. How many of you heard of John Piper? Okay. Well, John Piper is a pastor in Minneapolis, Minnesota, General Baptist Church. That's the Swedish Baptist Conference. And he is big into the reformers. He's big in John Calvin. He's big in election. He's big into covenant theology. And he's presenting the Bible from a Reformed position. And guess what? Not too long ago, he proposed that his church allow baptism by sprinkling. You say, what? Now, the deacons voted it down. But give them some time. How would a Baptist ever propose something like that? Well, it's kind of simple. You start thinking. You know why? Because guess what? John Piper is studying who? Who are his heroes? The Reformers. John Calvin. Who are his heroes? Covenant theology. The Reformed theology. Mixing Israel and the church. And so if he's studying these people and these are his heroes, what do you think is going to happen? His conclusion is going to be Reformers thinking, isn't it? And it comes to the big, big subject. What is it? Mode of baptism. It's just an illustration of what you study and what how your thinking has been molded. It just shows you if you're making John Calvin a hero and Martin Luther a hero, John Knox a hero, you're making them heroes. Guess what? You're going to be easily succumbed by what they're teaching. And hey, Mr. Raines, if your neighbor was John Calvin, and if he knew you were Baptist, probably would if you were a real Baptist, and because of it, next week you are going to be executed, do you think you would spend a lot of time reading the writings of John Calvin? Would you think that he had come across with biblical thinking? Huh? You wouldn't think so, would you? You'd say, man, this guy's really missing some big spots here in the Bible. Right? And so, it's interesting as you start thinking of this, you begin to realize, wow. And you know, a lot of Baptists today who call themselves Baptists, and how many remember David Cummings wrote This Day in Baptist History. You know, last two times Dr. Cummings was here, I picked up on something he said. I agreed with it, but I didn't hear it from him before that. And he said this. He said, the problem today is most Baptist preachers, number-wise, have been educated in interdenominational schools. How many remember hearing that? Well, Heather heard it. I heard it. I heard it a number of times. And I said, I'm taking note to what he's saying. He's sounding an alarm. He's sounding an alarm. And I don't have to fill in the blanks, but that's true. You know what? When you're educated by the Reformers who put Baptists to death, you are not getting a clear, clean Baptist Bible education, are you? You think that, you know, maybe you don't get this. Let me say it again. The Reformers, all of them, all those, Knox, Calvin, Luther, they put to death Baptists. Zwingli, he said, you Baptists like water so much? All Baptists will be condemned to drowning. Now let me ask a question. You think that that should be the basis of our, should we have, take that kind of thinking in a neutral standpoint? No. But, it's happened. As I was just reading this book, Brother Beller said, you know, most Baptists know D.L. Moody. They know Billy Sunday. They know Gypsy Smith. None of them were Baptists. They were pedo-Baptists. That means they sprinkled babies. And their forefathers murdered Baptists. But most people who go to a Baptist church have never heard of one of the men who brought one of the greatest revivals in the whole, in the history of America. I was thinking a couple verses in the Bible to close here. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed by what? Lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed by a lack of knowledge. Not only a lack of knowledge, but misinformation. You know, when I was to school, even though I went to a Baptist school, there was a saying that was going abroad, which was, you are a fundamentalist before you are a Baptist. The problem with that saying is this. If you understand history, that saying came out of, in fact, the Ari Torre and the fundamentals of the faith was a Protestant response to liberalism permeating the Protestant denominations. But real Baptists, long before there was a need to write the book about the fundamentals, were fundamentalists. Let me ask a question. Do you think it's, we're just dealing with one little part of this subject here. Do you think that, killing, Christians because they baptize believers, is a very orthodox thinking? How many think that's orthodox thinking? Orthodox means, you know, going according to the Bible. But the fact is, the fundamentals written by Ari Torre were written by pedo-Baptists as a whole. Now, some of this is, I mean, history that you don't know about. But I guess putting in a summary statement, I don't think this title of this book is too far off. The Coming Destruction of the Baptist People. And I was start thinking about this. You know what? There is not a Baptist curriculum out there. Now, if you have some good Baptist teachers, that's going to help. that there isn't a Baptist curriculum out there. Every Christian curriculum out there is based on Reformed thinking. There might be an exception, but I don't know if there is. We have a problem because most of us, and I was thinking about it as a pastor, I said, you know, how many caught this? We'll stop here. How many caught when brother from Cameroon, what's his name? How many caught it that when Brother Needham was here, the two illustrations he gave were from Baptist history? How many caught it? I noticed it. And I'm saying this as a point is, number one, we should be able to recognize that. Okay? That speaks of a failure to really educate our people. That's my responsibility. On the other hand, most illustrations, many illustrations are from the Reformed position. And we are promoting something. Not that there aren't some illustrations there, but we are promoting something that is really, in the long run, misinformation. We're saying that there's no heroes that followed this book. There's no heroes that followed this book, that totally followed this book. There's no heroes by those who truly believe what the Bible says, baptism by immersion for believers only throughout history. Do you understand what I'm saying? Am I making a connection here? Anybody get it, what I'm saying? Or are you out in that la-la land? Raise your hand if you're getting it. Okay? We're talking about some very significant truth there. We'll be continuing this principle. But we have a tremendous watering down of Christianity today, and maybe that's part of the reason we aren't really having revival. And maybe that's part of the reason that that our churches aren't strong as they ought to be, because we're mixing doctrines. We're mixing false doctrine with right doctrine. And we're hoping to get the good results as a result. Well, it's not going to happen, is it, when we mix those things? But the fact is, many times we don't even know that we're doing it. And there's some areas that I surmised, but thinking about it, being confronted with it, I says, whoa, and we'll give you some more concrete illustrations in the days ahead as we deal with this important subject. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that, Lord, that we can be confronted with the truth. And I pray that, Lord, that men, especially men, Lord, would get their appetite whetted to be seekers after the truth. And that parents, Lord, that we would be challenged to really know the truth. And that, Lord, that even our teachers, that we would be challenged about really having a biblical framework and a biblical perspective, even as we teach the Word of God, and as we teach history, and as we present the normal life of biblical Christianity. So, Lord, use these truths. Bless our prayer time, Lord. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.